97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Good morning to you. Glad you're with us here on the Mark Cox Morning Show on a Wednesday morning. You know, here I got a little bone to pick with Carl Middleman. Carl,
yeah.
do not bring me a box of popcorn from Enterprise Center and then complain when I eat it. Okay?
The light comes on and you're like, I just put popcorn in my mouth.
No, the light hadn't come on yet. I was getting ready to read a spot earlier, and I said, you got to give me a second because I did put a couple pieces of popcorn in my mouth. I needed to get that out of there, right?
You have a commercial right after Sue is finished.
This has happened multiple times, not with just the popcorn. Well, not only with just the popcorn that Carl brings, but Mark, you brought coffee cake in the other day, and I'll forget that I have headlines coming up, and I eat a giant piece of coffee cake, and then I'm struggling to get through my headlines. Really, I blame myself, but...
Right.
You know,
right.
It's better to blame
Carl.
But it is easier to blame you, both of you.
It's easier to blame Carl for all of this. Anyway, thank you for the popcorn, Carl. Very nice. How did the Blues do last night?
Not well. They lost 6 of 7.
Ouch. That stinks. At least Kentucky won. I know I'm happy about that.
That's what all this was about.
No, it was
the
not.
The popcorn, the Blues.
I just wanted to point that out because I knew that wouldn't be included in any of the sports headlines this morning.
Let me know when they lose, and I'll make sure I include that.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Damn.
I don't watch those games. And it hasn't happened yet, so I don't have to worry about that. Coming up, we're going to give away a couple of Guns N' Roses tickets. We got Aaron Evans joining us. Republican strategist, and we're going to talk more about these sanctuary cities that we talked a little bit about last hour, and a promise to fight, to defy Trump's deportation push. We'll get to that for you here coming up in about 10 minutes or so. But first, Carl, let's get to our top story.
The Mark Cox Shortlist.
Defending our residents every possible way. Well, she's not very smart, I'll give her that. Because what I just said is President Trump's going to prioritize public safety threats.
Yeah, Tom Homan, he's my favorite pick so far by Donald Trump. The guy is a bulldog. I can't wait to see what he does with starting this deportation push.
Man, I grab your ratty looking hair and drag your face down to the floor while I repeatedly bash it in.
If you didn't already know that there's a huge mental health crisis in this country, this is a so-called trans person promising to physically assault a congresswoman because he disagrees with her resolution.
100% going to stand in the way of any man who wants to be in a women's restroom, in our locker rooms, in our changing rooms. I will be there fighting you every step of the way.
Yeah, that's the congresswoman. That's Nancy Mace, who says she's a rape victim and has PTSD as a result of it and will not put up with a man being in the women's bathrooms in the halls of Congress. Very nice, Carl. Guess what? We are giving away some Guns N' Roses tickets. And, of course, you're listening to little Guns N' Roses
there. It's a little November rain.
It is.
And it's raining.
We have a little November rain this morning, Carl. Thank you for that.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to give away a pair of tickets to the November 27th event over at the Enterprise Center. Chance to see the police officers and the firefighters who put it on the line every day, putting it on the line in a boxing ring. These are usually some pretty competitive matches. Sometimes the ladies' matches, as in the other night with Jake Paul, the ladies' match was better than the main bout with Tyson and Paul.
And it was the number one watched women's boxing ever.
I know. Wow. I know. I can't wait to see the matchups at Guns N' Roses. Anyway,
there is a women's fight, at least
one. Oh, I know.
One.
I know. We'll give away a pair of tickets right now to caller number 14. Make Ethan work a little bit. Caller number 14 to 314-241-9797. That's 314-241-9797. You're going to win a pair of tickets to Guns N' Roses. And they're getting hard to find, apparently. They're starting to run out of tickets now. They're expecting it to be a sellout. And as a result of that, I do know that hair saloon. I talked to Tom Twelman last night via text, and he said some of their locations still have tickets. You can walk. I'd call before I'd go, but make sure the location nearest you, and there are plenty of them. I think there are 14 locations. They might have some tickets left to get you in the door. You're going to want to be down there and make this part of your holiday tradition as we have the last couple of years. We'll give away tickets again tomorrow and the next day. Good luck to you on that. Let's get back to this Nancy Mace story. There's a congressperson who has been elected who is a man, but who dresses and identifies as a woman. Mike Johnson got dragged into this yesterday because somebody asked him how he felt about this individual using the women's bathroom, even though he's got a dangling participle. And Mike Johnson replied to it this way. Go to cut number six, Carl.
Hello, everybody. I just want to make a statement for all of you here and be very clear. I was asked a question this morning at the leadership gaggle, and I rejected the premise because the answer is so obvious. For anybody who doesn't know my well-established record on this issue, let me be unequivocally clear. A man is a man, and a woman is a woman, and a man cannot become a woman. That said, I also believe that's what Scripture teaches, what I just said. But I also believe that we treat everybody with dignity. And so we can do and believe all those things at the same time. And I wanted to make that clear for everybody because there's lots of questions. But that's where I stand. I've stood there my whole life, and those are facts.
Yeah, and now the other side will say, well, you're not treating it with dignity if you don't allow him to go to the women's bathroom.
This is Sarah McBride, the new congressman from Delaware. And Sarah said, this is a blatant attempt from far right-wing extremists to distract from the fact that they have no real solutions to what Americans are facing. Then also said, we should be focused on bringing down the cost of housing, healthcare, and childcare, not manufacturing culture wars. No, guys, we're just defending morality. This is not about that we're manufacturing culture wars. Like, things were just fine up until a handful of years ago. And sure, you had some of these things going on, but now this is so pervasive, not just in Congress, as it will now be in January when this person is officially starting in his position there.
Right.
But it's all over schools. It's in workplaces. It's everywhere. And so we have to fight back, because if we don't and we just lay down and take it, this is going to absolutely steamroll everything that, well, in my opinion, goes against my moral views.
I think it fed a lot into the outrage in these blue states. A lot of the Trump votes there were on issues like this. The woke left is too woke for the majority of Americans. Listen to Nancy Mace and her reaction to the guy. First of all, she was told she was threatened, but here's what her reaction was to this individual using the women's bathroom. Go to cut four, Carl, please.
So if that being a feminist makes me an extremist, I'm totally here for it.
Is this effort in response to Congresswoman McBride coming to Congress?
Yes, and absolutely, and then some. I'm not going to stand for a man. If someone with a penis is in the women's locker room, that's not okay. And I'm a victim of abuse myself. I'm a rape survivor. I have PTSD from the abuse I've suffered at the hands of a man. And I know how vulnerable women and girls are in private spaces. So I'm absolutely 100% going to stand in the way of any man who wants to be in a women's restroom, in our locker rooms, in our changing rooms. I will be there fighting you every step of the way.
More to come. January 3rd shaping up to be just as interesting as January 6th when the new Congress gets sworn in up in D.C. Wow. Hey, coming up, what about these sanctuary city mayors? What's going to happen to that? We're going to talk to Aaron Evans when we get back.
What will Boston's response be if these mass deportations take place?
Yeah, look, elections have consequences, and the federal government is responsible for a certain set of actions, and cities, no individual city can reverse or override some parts of that. But what we can do is make sure that we are doing our part to protect our residents in every possible way, that we are not cooperating with those efforts that actually threaten the safety of everyone by causing widespread fear and having large-scale economic impact.
Yeah, there you have it. So that was Michelle Wu, the mayor up in Boston yesterday, referring to the fact that they will do everything in their power. I heard J.B. Pritzker say the same thing. He'll do everything in his power to try to stop the Trump administration from, I guess, maybe deporting. But I guess what they're talking about here is really towing the line on the legality of protecting illegal aliens. That's what they're going to do. They're going to try to shield them or hide them in some way. That they look at it as protecting their residents. Well, they're not your residents. They're there illegally. They are a drain on the system. I refer you back to what Kim was talking about earlier with this Lake and Riley story and the fact that the person that raped and killed her was living in a 4-star hotel in New York before getting a free flight to relocate to Athens, Georgia. These are the people living in our communities right now. We got Aaron Evans on the phone with us this morning, who's a Republican strategist, and good to have him back here. Aaron, how are you?
Hey, great to be on. Thank you. Doing well.
Yeah, you know, I just played the bite from Michelle Wu, the mayor up in Boston, talking about, basically becoming a sanctuary city. She's not the only one. I know there are leaders out in California saying some of the same language, that they're going to fight back. They're going to use every tool in the toolbox to fight back against the Trump administration. Realistically, there's not a lot they can do, right?
No, I mean, basically, the only thing that they really can do is just not notify ICE when they make an arrest and it's an illegal immigrant. But ultimately, they'll make a lot of deal about it and talk a lot, and they won't do proactive referrals. But there's literally nothing they can do to stop the federal government from doing its job. And I think that's the thing we have to really step back and remember is, this isn't some, radical new bold Trump thing. This is literally what we're talking about here is simply enforcing the laws of the land that have been failed to be enforced by, the Biden administration at large. But frankly, this has been failed to be enforced the way that it should be by multiple presidents. And to put this in context, by the way, because I think sometimes we forget how massive this really is. In 1990, we had about 3.5 million illegal immigrants in this country. We're talking about over 10 million illegal immigrants in our country today because of the failed policies of Biden-Harris. And so all President Trump is doing is he's basically saying, look, we've had surges of epic proportions. It's a national security problem. It's a local, you're mentioning the Lake and Riley story, as it came on. It's a national security issue. It's a community safety issue. And frankly, even beyond that, every single person we're talking about has committed a crime to even be here. They violated our immigration laws, and we're either a country or we're not. And President Trump is just saying, we're going to get back to being a country. We're going to get back to having laws, and there's a legal way to get here if you want to come. And we'll still welcome you if you go through the legal process. But, we're cutting out the fast track because it's we're putting America first, and it's a national security issue.
Couldn't these mayors, though, tell their local police departments do not help with them at all? Wouldn't that be probably the only thing they could do?
Yes. Yeah. And they definitely, I think we'll definitely see that occurring in some of these cities. And, and it's really a shame because when you look at, we're also talking about some of the cities with the highest crime rates in the country, by the way. So these are already cities where you have woke mayors who are already telling police you can't do your job, which is why their crime's through the roof. And so I think we'll just see more of the same. But I also think that, we'll see President Trump and the new administration do what's necessary to, if necessary, work around and not depend on the local police, but law enforcement will occur.
Yeah, I know you run a winning Republican strategies, right? And you probably worked on a lot of these campaigns, I would imagine, that were successful this year. I believe immigration, every poll I saw, it was one of the top two issues for people. Usually the economy and immigration were right up there at the top. I mean, if 312 electoral votes meant anything, it was a mandate to enact change.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, and I think, and look, this is, and I think you're spot on. And one thing, you know, when you look at the numbers again, that's very fascinating. You've got, you know, the top three governors that's kind of been on the statewide level who have been saying they're going to resist law enforcement efforts on this are California, New York, Illinois. And in each of those states, respectively, estimates are that there's up to 2 million illegal immigrants per state in those three states. And I mean, frankly, you know, Americans just want, we want our country back. And I think that there's very real legitimate, you know, concerns. And one of the things that we realized, you know, whether it's a district in middle America or in some of the most rural places across the country or in the big cities, you know, the last 3.5 years has made every town a border town, and every town has been impacted by this surge of illegal immigrants. And so it's a big security problem.
Let's hope they get it done. Aaron Evans, thanks for your time.
Hey, it's been a pleasure. Thank you. Have a great day.
Have a great morning. We appreciate it. We'll get you a check of business. We've got In Other News coming up with Ethan about 6:45. Stay tuned.
Sonny, you have a legal note.
I do have a legal note. Thank you, Whoopi. Matt Gaetz has long denied all allegations, calling the claims, quote, invented, and saying in a statement to ABC News that this false smear following a 3-year criminal investigation should be viewed with great skepticism. That DOJ investigation was closed with no charges being brought.
We'll be right back.
Sonny Hostin looked like Sonny Hostage. She looked like she was being held hostage when she had to read this legal notice because they slandered Matt Gaetz repeatedly after his nomination was announced, and they got served with legal notice that you will read this statement straight off the prompter with no commentary, or we will sue you for defamation.
I saw Matt Gaetz share the clip of Sonny Hostin having to do that, and I just picture her in her dressing room before the show, like, you can do this. Just read it. Do not cringe. You can do this.
She stopped. She looked into the camera and paused for a second, and then she just read it as straight as she could without having to crack a smile.
Did she have to run and throw up after reading
it? Oh, I'm sure she did.
We're going to go to commercial break.
They went to commercial break so she could tell the audience how disgusted she was with having to warn everybody, but you know there were never any charges filed, and Matt Gaetz has denied all of this. So it'll be, I tell you, man, we're in for a rough ride. It's going to be a Kavanaugh-like hearing if he ever gets to the Senate for an actual vote. We'll see what happens. All right, let's get to Nicole Murray. Nicole, how are you?
Good morning.
You know, we just have to say we've noticed that occasionally your New Jersey accent comes through. Can I tell you that?
I can't hear it. You're not the first person to tell me that, and I just can't hear it.
It's but certain words that you say.
Like your name.
Like talking to you right not now, right. I don't hear it. But when you do your business report later in the morning, we hear it in the way you pronounce your last name.
Should I try like an English accent instead?
You should. Nicole Murray. Can you do that little Cockney accent?
I will try.
That's great. I love that, though. I love
yes,
it.
Yes. Thank you.
That is fantastic. So, you know, we were talking about this in the break here about Black Friday. Amazon's Black Friday starts tomorrow. Did you know that?
I did not know that. And it's going to get longer and longer, earlier and earlier every year. It makes it less special.
You can't call it Black Friday if it's starting the Thursday before Thanksgiving.
They're calling it Black Friday week. Black Friday week. You can shop early deals right now.
It's too much.
I've heard, and I'm not sure if there's truth to this, I've heard that sometimes they will raise prices and then slash them, and the price that you're paying, they can say, oh, it's 35% off or whatever the case may be. Well, so think you're getting a great deal, but it's really not any lower or much lower than the original price.
Last year, people also caught them putting price tags that say for sale when in actuality it was the same as the original price. There's a few retailers that got caught.
Got to be a savvy consumer, no doubt about that. The markets have reacted. Are they waiting to hear about Nvidia today? Is that what I heard?
That's the big quarterly results everyone is waiting for.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. So futures are slightly higher as the market awaits NVIDIA's quarterly results. Tuesday, the Dow Industrials lost 120, the NASDAQ up 195, and the S&P 500 up 23. Deer Creek office in St. Louis County, which is now closed, owes more than $50,000 in back rent. That's according to a newly filed lawsuit. The landlord entered into a lease agreement with Java Mose LLC, doing business as Deer Creek Coffee in 2017. St. Louis County will consider updating a tax break deal for a long-delayed music production facility in Chesterfield after the owner said they need more time to finish the project. Gateway Studios and Production Services wants the county council to approve extending the project's completion date from the end of this year to the end of next year. That's according to Rodney Krim, president of the St. Louis Economic Development Partnership. Target shares plunged 20% after the discount chain missed third quarter earnings and revenue estimates and cut its full year guidance. Target struggled to drive sales even after reducing prices on thousands of items. The results came a day after Walmart beat Wall Street expectations and hiked its outlook. Jersey Mike's is being acquired by asset management company Blacksun for $8 billion. The deal is, quote, intended to help enable Jersey Mike's to accelerate its expansion across and beyond the U.S. market, as well as aid ongoing technological investments. Comcast is moving forward with the spinoff of its cable networks. This includes CNBC, MSNBC, and E! The spinoff is expected to take about a year, and Bravo is not included. Netflix has announced the boxing match between Mike Tyson and Jake Paul was the most streamed sporting event ever. The streaming platform said 108 million global viewers tuned in for the fight. And finally, to lean or not to lean. In a new survey conducted by the Harris Poll on behalf of Lazy Boy, 41% of American adults say they support a ban on reclining seats during domestic flights.
Oh, no. Who are these people?
Gordon Deal is one of them.
Really?
I mean, I don't think that they should just say
they
you can't
have.
Well, here's the thing. I understand that argument because it is really annoying when someone puts their seat all the way back and you're just expected to be okay with it. Like, if I'm going to recline my seat, I'm going to do it just a little bit where I'm more comfortable, but I'm not fully laying back where it's irritating for the person behind me.
I got something to say here. The problem is not the person sitting in front of you. The problem is the airline industry that has put the seats too close together in hopes of fitting one more row in so they can get six more fares out of it if there's six seats in the aisle.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
They've squeezed every ounce of space out, so now reclining, you're actually in the face of the person behind you.
But because the airlines aren't going to change their ways in that regard, right? Because they're going to want to get every bit of money they possibly can from these flights. So then, what's the next solution to make it more comfortable
for
everyone?
Fly first class.
Well, okay. if they wanted to give me a discounted rate for flying first class.
So, Nicole, because I am a listener of your show, is it Delta that's going to be giving out special hamburgers out of Boston? What was that story you had this morning with Gordon?
Delta Airlines is going to start giving out burgers with Shake Shack, but they're only going to do it if you fly first class from Boston or if you're on a flight that's over 900 miles.
But then you said more flights are going to be, it's going to be added to that, right? So we could
not till
have
next
it.
Year.
Okay, well.
Not till next
Gordon
year.
Gordon had a good idea. He said, you just go tap somebody on the shoulder in first class. You say, hey, order two of these burgers. I'll pay for yours. Send it back to, you know, whatever he said, row 33.
Gordon then is the reason they pull the little curtain to separate the business class people from everybody else.
to keep you out of there, right? But just to like loop back around though, in regards to the whole reclining issue, you're only moving the seat a few inches total. I really don't see the big deal.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it just depends on how close the seats are. Some of these airlines are bad with how they've crunched you up. Well, and on an international flight, there's very little room.
People also stick their nasty feet. I have no problem with people taking their shoes off, but when people stick their troll feet on the center, the armrest, I have a problem with that.
Uh-oh.
I think anybody would have a problem with that. Yeah, that's disgusting.
Wouldn't have to take a poll on that one, would we? For sure.
No, we would not.
Nicole, thank you.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, talk to you later. All right.
Mark, if I'm being honest, I don't know if I'd want to ride a plane with you. I feel like the more I hear about your plane habits,
habits?
Well, we were determining that you were a plane, what was it called?
Oh, gate lice.
Oh, gate lice. Yeah, you're gate lice because you feel like you should just be able to jump in anywhere in the boarding process and get on the plane, right? Regardless of
group
what group
one.
You're in, you just go.
I never go in group one if I'm not in group one.
I don't know. I feel like that's contradictory to what you said the other week.
I never said that. What I said was, and it's a secret that the airlines don't want you to know, is that if you are in group six and you walk in group five, they don't know that they don't care. They're not going to stop you. That's all I pointed out. Is there they have their own reasons for doing it. I don't understand it. It's not like they're loading the plane from the back forward,
which is more
which would make more sense. Mm-hmm. They don't do it that way.
Yeah, but if you're on Southwest, you're going to get the better seat if you're in...
Not in January.
They're assigning... Oh, that's right. They're
changing it. Yeah, they're starting to assign seats.
Hmm.
Huh.
So Mark can only be gate lice for another month and a half.
So you say, Carl. I don't like that term very much. I
didn't come up with it. The airlines did.
Yeah, I hear you. All right, still ahead. We're going to get to end of the news with Ethan. Next hour, our friend Genevieve Wood. Hey, I have a question. Does your company pay for abortion travel? You may be surprised at how many do. We're going to get to Genevieve Wood on that issue at about 20 after 7. Stay tuned.
What's happening?
Go, you know the thing.
What the hell is going on?
In other news.
Must be a good story.
Well, it's sort of good, I guess. Sammy Hagar and Guy Fieri's Santos Spirits tequila brand suffered a major theft when two trucks carrying 4,440 cases, which is about 25,000 bottles of tequila worth over $1 million, were diverted and stolen en route from Laredo, Texas to Pennsylvania. The theft, accounting for 12% of the company's annual sales, involves sophisticated tactics such as fake GPS updates and to mislead the importer and the trucking company. Now, one truck was tracked to California, but the tequila remains missing.
Well, that's scary. They were able to, what, hack into the GPS system and reroute them?
Yeah, I think they were just given, like, false updates to the GPS
system. Isn't that something?
Wow. Like, to who was monitoring, so your logistics people,
somebody really wanted some tequila.
Seriously.
Is it that good? I know.
I haven't had
the fact
one.
That it's worth how much money
this
you said?
It's pretty high-end tequila.
This is not the Cabo Wabo. He sold that and made $80 million, and then he went to Beach Bum Rum, and now he's doing tequila again.
I know.
Is this like an exclusive thing, though, where they only make a certain amount of bottles?
I think
you know
so.
How like the whiskey guys do
limited.
That?
Yeah, that's
why it was $1 million, just one truck.
Woo! Baby. Makes your clothes fall off, I hear. You got to watch that tequila stuff. Go ahead.
The release of the...
I even get that reference now, Mark. Are you proud?
One tequila, thank you. Two tequila, three tequila floor.
The release of the highly anticipated Wicked movie on November 22nd has sparked some debate over movie theater etiquette, with AMC Theaters emphasizing its long-standing non-singing policy. Hmm. A pre-show advisory video humorously reminds audiences not to sing along with the beloved songs to avoid disrupting other viewers' experiences. The rule has divided fans online, with some supporting the restriction while others suggest maybe offering sing-along screenings as a compromise.
They should. They make more money.
Do they not
that's true.
Air the Rocky Horror Picture Show? I mean, people have been singing along the movies for years.
Those are different.
Yeah. Remember when the Taylor... I know this is a little bit different. When the Taylor Swift thing came out, weren't people like standing up dancing and singing? I guess you just go into it knowing that is what you should expect.
I mean, Sue Thomas was doing that, weren't you, Sue?
Oh, my.
They
take the... they do that with Sound of Music. Sometimes when they show it at big theaters, they'll actually call it sing-along Sound of Music so you can get it out of your system. Or just go to one and have it not be sing-along, which, of course, is what I prefer.
Yeah,
exactly,
well,
me too.
Because there will be a lot of people next weekend that have never seen Wicked and don't know the songs and don't want to hear...
Exactly.
Ginger Cox singing
when
along.
When I was in Hamilton, everybody around me was singing along with them. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
So I saw it, and today's the first day I can talk about it. It's 2 hours and 40 minutes.
No.
The first half.
Too
the
long.
First half of the movie. Woo! Which, that second part doesn't come out till a year from now.
To quote Sweet Brown, ain't nobody got time for that.
Were you hoarse at the end of it from
singing,
Carl?
I'm sorry?
Were you hoarse at the end of it from singing?
I wasn't singing, but some of the sound problems, like there's a line where... Elphaba sings, if you want to find me, look to the west. The music's too loud, which is like one of the best lines of defying gravity. They buried her in the
not
mix.
Well.
I didn't like that. But it is really well done. The play improves on the book, and this improves on the play.
Yeah, my daughter just texted me and said, that was rude, Carl, for you to call her out by name for singing in the musical.
You're the one that
I know, I
called her out at first. I'm just perpetuating the lie. But it was really good. If you're a fan already, you are going to love it. But I can see how newbies will be like...
irritated.
Shut up!
Yep. That'd be me.
I'm with you, Sue.
Yep. Stuff a sock in it till I watch this thing,
will you? Thank you, please. A Pew Research Center report found that 21% of Americans, including 37% of adults under 30, get their news from social media influencers. Surprise, surprise. Defined as individuals with over 100,000 followers who post about current events, influencers are credited by 65% of followers with improving understanding of news, and 71% say their content differs from traditional sources.
What was the overall percentage?
There's 37% of adults under 30 get their news from them. They're credited by 65% of followers with improving understanding. So 65% of people who follow them say, I understand the news better because... Kim St. Ange tells me about it.
Yeah, I guess so.
Well, I guess we have to get you a TikTok account then, Mark. That's where a lot of these people are going, especially the ones under 30. I think it's the TikTokers.
Oh, that's frightening.
And that one...
Contraire.
Oh.
X, formerly Twitter, is most popular platform of 85%, followed by Instagram, which is 50%, and YouTube, 44%, with male influencers dominating it by 63%. TikTok stands out for its higher percentage of female, which is 45%, and left-leaning, 28% of influencers.
Good news for MAGA.
I wish I could see the names of these supposed influencers who people are following. Like Lids Charlie Kirk TikTok. Or...
What's that Harry
you know,
kid? Harry Sessions? Hessen?
What?
Was that the...
Harry Styles?
No. He's a...
Wake
he's
up
a
with
left
politics.
Side. No, I don't... Is that what it is?
He's anyone like a 20-year-old influencer these
I'll
days.
Show you off air.
All right. Thank you, Ethan. Appreciate that. We're going to get to our friend Genevieve Wood. Find out which companies in America offer abortion travel as a perk. We're going to be back in just a minute.
Get more at 971talk.com.